This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Well, fellas, very excited to have you two here as my phone's going off. We have got Jacob Young and we've got Aiden Wood from the band Old 60, a group of guys that we are, like, it's been insane, no pun intended, to watch you guys do what you've been doing over the last, six months?
Well, we started in really like last winter, like a little over a year ago. And then, yeah, from then to now, it's been crazy, dude. Crazy.
I joined in August.
So you're like a newer September.
September. Well, we released the EP in August. And then he DM'd us on Instagram like 2 days later and was like, y'all are from like 5 minutes from
dude,
me.
Dude, I love that.
Yeah, dude. They
always say shoot your shot, whether it's with a girl or an opportunity. And you shot your shot?
Well, so I was working out of town. Like I was like building solar fields and like traveling like every week. And I was in St. Louis and I was just on TikTok one night and like they popped up. And I saw that they were like from Hawesville. And I was like, dude, that's like 15 minutes from me, you know, like that's crazy. And they were good, which was like, I was surprised, you know, because like you never hear about people that sound like professional, you know?
Yeah, you're like high level band out of Hancock County.
Yeah,
like,
so
what?
Yeah, so I just DM'd them and was like, hey, you guys are doing great. Like, keep doing what you're doing. And then, like, I was like trying to get into music at the time. So I was like, you know, if you ever need help with anything, like, let me know. And they were like, we need a drummer. Like, Jacob was literally, like, tell him about you trying to buy people drums.
Yeah, I was, before Aiden messaged us, we were looking for a drummer. We just had three guitars.
Yeah.
And I was asking all my buddies, we were going out to bars and seeing live music, and I'm like, you know how cool it'd be if you learned how to play the drums? Like, I'll buy you a drum set, you know? Yeah. I'll buy you everything you need. I'll teach you the little that I know. We'll get it together. And thankfully, Aiden DM'd us, and he knew how to play better than me. So.
Hell yeah. That's awesome, dude. I love how organic the old 60 thing is. Like,
it's all been
people
like
are like, are these industry plants? Is it that? It's like, these are just dudes. These are just kids. Like, how old are you guys?
I just turned 20 2 weeks ago.
You just turned 20? You're talking about a little
bit. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. So you just turned 20. How old are you, Jay?
24.
You're 24. And then how old? Who's the oldest guy in the band?
Catfish is 27.
Yeah, so you guys are all, like, figuring out life and then just jamming together, and it turns into 3 million monthly listeners on Spotify, last time I checked, which is fucking outrageous.
Yeah, well, we were playing in the pizza shop, Galaxy Pizza back home. That's me and Ryan both worked there. I worked there for like 4 years, and we just go like 8 o'clock when they close, set up all our stuff, and jam out, and that's where we came up with a lot of it, you know. And then Aiden started coming. I remember his first practice. We had him on the cajon.
Yeah.
And
on the boot, on the little box, the little beat box.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if he had rhythm. Because, you know, he DM'd us on Instagram. I was like, this kid could be anybody. Keep time.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say something, but I forgot. Oh, like it was. Sorry.
No, you're good.
It was wild because, like, I would be, like, in Chicago, or, like, Kankakee or whatever, like, or...
What's Kankakee?
It's, like, a city outside of Chicago, like, an hour.
So it's Illinois.
Like, I was working in all these places in Illinois, and, like, or, like, Freeport, which is, like, you know where Rockford is?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's, like, around that area. So I'm driving, like, 14 hours a week, because I'm driving 7 hours there and 7 hours back, and, like, I would drive, like, literally straight to my house, get in my truck, and, like, load all my drums up, go straight to Galaxy, and he would, like, either, like, be getting off work, or, like, you would be off.
I was,
like,
working at the factory at the time.
Yeah, so he'd come in, like, all pale and shit.
12 hours, 7 p.m., get off, and be there at 8. Sometimes I'd have time to shower.
Yeah.
Blue-collar shit.
We'd be working
literally
long days.
What were you doing up in Illinois? What were you doing for work up there?
I worked for this electrician's place in Indiana, where I'm from, and they got all these, like, out of town jobs, like, through the government or whatever. So we were making, like, crazy money to, like, travel and go do these jobs, and, like, I was just their bitch, basically. Like, I would
little bit on the totem pole.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't care at all, like, because we're just in this field, you know, and, like, we'd have like side by sides and stuff like that. It was a really good job, but I quit because I was like,
he was the first one to quit.
Yeah,
you were the first one to quit your job.
Like, it was like a job that I should not have been hired for. Like it was like a good. It was a job that like my parents would have been like, okay, I'm gonna stay here the rest of my life. Like, yeah.
So you were the first one to quit.
Yeah.
So what were the rest of the boys doing? Were anybody else working at Galaxy with you? Or was it just kind of like odd jobs?
So Ryan helped at Galaxy. His brother owns it, and they have a food truck too.
It's a family business. I love that, the pizza shop.
Yeah, so he would work out there and help out and then help with the food truck. He'll help out a little while every once in a while. Colby had his last day yesterday. He was an electrician. He just had his last day yesterday.
Catfish is a tattoo artist.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah, he gave both of us our first tattoos. Yeah.
Where are they? Are they? Can you see them?
Mine's on my leg.
I got mine on my arm. It's just 324. We all got them.
The EP.
From the EP.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. I love that. A guy like Catfish sounds like a guy that I want coming at me with an ink gun.
Yeah. Ty got a catfish tattooed on him last time we were all together, just because, I guess. But yeah, Catfish does tattoos.
Jared's an electrician.
He's still working.
Yeah.
He's getting married on Saturday.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude. So how do a bunch of blue-collar kids from middle of nowhere Kentucky wind up in this situation? Like, how does it happen?
We're fucking idiots.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I love it, dude.
Social media is a big part in it, you know, TikTok definitely did its thing when everything first started kicking, and then everything just started rolling together. The whole time we've been doing it, I was just making memes and posting them on TikTok, you know, because I didn't know what to do for content. And I was like, the second we get some good content, like, I feel like it might really pick up. And we met up with Davis, and then he linked us with Wells and Jape, and they're just the best.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude.
And as soon as we started working with them, it was like just... You know, they really did their thing.
Yeah, dude, because I remember you guys playing, obviously, I remember you doing the writer's rounds with us, and that was kind of,
We got introduced to Davis.
Yeah, because I remember Tyler bringing you guys down.
Yeah, he brought us down, and he'd been texting Davis trying to get him to listen to us.
Yeah.
And I don't think he did, and then he saw me play at the writer's round with Luke, and then we just started working with him.
Well, it was his wife, though.
Yeah, Shelby.
Shelby.
Yeah,
we love Shelby, dude. Shout out to Shelby, dude. The mom of the
group. She wrangles us.
Yeah, somebody's got to. Because I remember Tyler sending me you guys, because I met Tyler when he was working with Aiden Canfield. Yeah. And I had lunch with them at Tin Roof like a year or two ago. And then I remember him being like, check out these boys from Kentucky. And I was like, oh, this is different. This is kind of cool. I forget. It was like the early like work tape, like hell demo stuff. Like smoking. I forget what the first song would have been.
It would have been like Smoking a Light. And then there's an unreleased one called Rose.
That's what it was. I think it was Rose. Yeah. Like it was like the early shit. I was like, this is something different. Tyler, what are you working with here? This is cool. And then when we had you play the round, I was like, damn, like you captivated a room, and Luke's fucking great too. And
I love
seeing these kids do their thing. And then that first night at Winners that we had you boys.
That's
something that we talk about. Like when people ask us about our event and we're like, you know who played the first one? The old 60 boys. And I remember at the end you're like, we didn't practice how to end it.
We're done now. We practiced the songs and we were just like, okay, this is our first full band show, like we need to have this stuff down. And we got it and we were playing, and then we get up there and we're playing, we get to the end of the last song and I'm like, oh shit, like this is something that you got to think about.
All right, we're done now.
It's over. Just stop playing.
Dude, that was like one of the most surreal like moments.
Yeah.
Winners?
Like, yeah, well, that I was like back to it and I'm like, damn, like that was before we had done anything. So like that was like, oh shit, this is our make it or break it. Like that was our time.
Yeah.
Just our first time playing together.
Yeah, and that was our first time doing anything at Winners. Like, that was our first full band showcase ever. Like that was our first time trying it, and it's been interesting going in there because we've always done the writer's round things, and it's different doing the full band thing. It's definitely harder to book that because you have to get four or five guys to come out. It's obviously not like a paid gig or anything, but you guys playing that. That's been like probably our, Nick and I's favorite memory so far of our thing. And now we're at Losers, and Losers is like a little dungeon. And it's like the stage, it actually sounds better in Losers than it does Winners. And they're remodeling Winners right now. It's going to be updated with all this cool shit. Yeah. It's going to be really cool over there. But to have you guys in the family on that thing and to be able to say we were the first show, and now you guys are selling out fucking shows.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Absurd.
Crazy.
Absurd.
I remember me and Ryan, he's a curly headed guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. He reps our hats yeah, all the time. You boys all rep our shit, which thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah, dude.
You guys are raised rowdy kids. Like y'all were clearly raised on the rowdy side, which I love.
Yeah. But me and Ryan were talking about it, and we like back in before Aiden was around, you know, it was before we had music out even. It was the day we wrote Dust to Dust, and we were sitting out there, and we came up with this band bucket list, you know, of just stuff we wanted to do, and Sell Out the Burl was on there, and we did that. It was the first show that we sold out, so it was, like, just sick, you know, Kentucky venue. But, yeah, there was a lot of funny stuff on there. We had Go on Tour, which we've done that.
Where have you guys been so far?
So we did three shows with Dylan Gossett.
And, they did Exit In, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had a round that night, so I couldn't be there. But that I was Tyler being like, bro, you should just cancel your round. And I'm like, I can't, man. I wish.
That was a fun one. That was cool. We also did Minneapolis or St. Paul and Chicago with him at the Chop Shop in Chicago. Yeah. And that one was really cool because, you know, I'm a Cubs fan. Yeah. I wear the Padres hat, and I get asked a lot about the Padres hat. I have like 40 hats, you know.
Yeah, this you're is just a hat guy.
This is the one I've been photographed in the most, I think.
Yeah. But he's like, is this kid from San Diego?
No, I'm a big Cubs guy. Yes. Yeah. Don't wear the Cubs hat as much as the Padres hat.
Pete Crow Armstrong, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's the savior.
I think he's
and you guys have that pitcher. Japanese
Shota.
Guy?
Yeah, Shota.
Which everybody spent all this money in Yamamoto out in L.A., and it's like, Shota's where it's
Yeah, he just showed up and started doing it.
Shota showed up, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the dates you guys have coming up. Like, you guys are going to be running and gunning, bro.
Yeah, we live Sunday.
With some great opening slots with Godwin, Arizona, Cali.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are going to fucking California. The boys from Hancock County are going.
I've never been out west.
Yeah, me neither.
Cali's
yeah.
dope, man. It's a different scene. And what I'll tell you, as someone who's from not a country area that was in the country scene, I grew up outside of New York City. Those areas, they whenever a country show comes through, they go nuts because they're not exposed to it a lot. So it's a big deal when a country act comes through. And you're with Charles. Those shows are going to be
insane.
Nuts. And his band is so tight and so like jammy, similar to you guys, and grew up have that Appalachia, West Virginia, Allegheny thing. Yeah. So Charles, Indiana, that'll be cool. That's a close one. And then fucking you guys have all these different. Oh, and then the headlining stuff starts in June. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Asheville, the Orange Peel is dope, dude. Oh, that's like a jam band. That's you guys are gonna vibe in that place. And Asheville's a cool town. I don't know if you guys have been out there.
I don't think
so. That's a cool town. Savannah, Georgia's sick. Myrtle. Oh, you guys are on CCMF.
Yeah.
That's a big fucking festival, boys.
Yeah. We're fired up about that. We got like three extra days. We're just spending in Myrtle Beach too.
My parents are like. And my siblings are like planning a vacation around the show.
Myrtle's wild.
Yeah.
They call it Dirty Myrtle.
Dirty Myrtle?
You get some shit in Myrtle Beach, you know? It's a degenerate beach town, but it's a lot of fun. And that's just a monster festival. Then the Burl's going to be fucking special. And they do Owensboro the next night. Dude, that's awesome.
Oh, the Owensboro show is going to be crazy. That's Friday after 5, and that's like the thing to do where we're from. It's Friday. After 5, you go.
Everybody's off work.
Yeah. You just go, and then it turns into Friday after 9. It's 18 and up, and everybody just gets wasted. Well, it's like always packed, and I don't know. I always thought it'd be cool to play Friday after 5, and they're doing like the main stage in front of the convention center, which they don't do often, which is going to be really cool.
It's big, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are going to the Rave.
Yeah.
You familiar with that place?
No.
Okay. So y'all might be into this because y'all sing. We'll get into the lyrics and the music, and we'll figure out why you guys are singing about all this sad, deep shit. We'll get into that.
I
love it. I love it. Well, I've got my theories on all that. We'll get into that. But the Rave in Milwaukee, It's a building that has five or six different like venues within it. So you guys are playing the rave bar. I did that with Muscadine Bloodline years ago. And that place is haunted as fuck. So really? They'll take you guys on the ghost tour through there. That's the place with the Mac Miller pool. If you, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. Wow.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
that room. So underneath it used to be like an Elks Club or like a society, like members only kind of thing. Oh. So the pool underneath was like part of that. And that pool is where they say a lot of the spirits are, like those rooms surrounding the pool. And that's where Mac Miller signed the pool and said that he's now dead. And then he passed away like a month later.
That's something crazy.
Like that. Yeah, there's a lot of. And then the hotel across the street, there's tunnels to get to the hotel that's across the street. And that's where Jeffrey Dahmer did a lot of his shit. So it's a spooky kind of place. It's very vibey. And the crowds there are just awesome. They've got like a big like ballroom upstairs that holds, I think, like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And then they've got like the smaller rooms. So like you start out playing the bar and then you'll go back and play the club and then you'll go up and play the big room.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's a cool room. Oh, that's you're on one of my favorite runs right there in that week in June. The rave to Joe's on Weed Street. Enjoy the deep dish pizza they give you.
Yeah.
Because it is Joe's on Weed. The green room has like its own like bar area. It's like a balcony, like overlooking. So you guys will see the crowd. You guys will be looking over and watching the crowd get packed in. Mm-hmm. And then there's a staircase from the balcony that goes down to like side stage. So you guys will get to see the room like kind of pack in and have like your own bar area. And like they take such good care of you up there. And then Omaha's a cool city. Dude, I mean, you guys have a full fucking year. Ian Munsick.
Yeah, we're doing that stuff with him out west in the fall.
Those are amphitheaters, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I just can't believe how fast this thing's going for you guys.
Yeah, we can't either, dude.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
We're still wrapping our heads around it.
We were playing, like, the shows we were playing back home, it was me and Ryan and then Tristan, who played with us. We were doing, like, acoustic guitars. We had three acoustic guitars because they wouldn't let us play full band in the bars back home. Aiden wasn't even old enough to get in.
Yeah, so there was this old, like, country bar, like, in...
Yeah.
Where is it?
Cloverport, Kentucky.
Cloverport, yeah. Never heard of it. I don't like these people.
No, they were great.
No, but here's what happened, though. They wouldn't let me in because I wasn't 21.
Even though you were playing in the band?
Yeah. But they wouldn't let me play. But they let me watch. So I went in there. I went in there and sat on the chair, like, and just watched them play and helped them set up and everything, but they wouldn't let me play.
I think they just didn't want drums in there.
Yeah, that would make sense, too.
It was a small bar. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm giving them a hard time. They're probably super nice people.
They are. They're super nice people.
Yeah, they're super nice people.
Jacob's like, I like these people.
Yeah, they were great. We played there, like, once a week, it felt like, you know? Yeah. And then
I'm really shitting on them.
But we'd have 20, 30 people there, and then... We came and played Winners, and then we went and did the stuff with Creed Fisher in Alabama.
Mm.
And after that, it was like just more and more people every show. You know, we haven't really done a hometown show at Brasher's full band. That was right before we left with Dylan Gossett.
I've never seen the videos for that. That looked fucking.
That
insane.
Was that was like was our cool. first real headline, I think. And even you know, it was just all our friends. So we haven't really done like the full headline like experience yet. We haven't got to play,
especially not in Owensboro either.
No,
like with the 50 or with the Friday After Five thing, like there were so many people that like should have been at Brasher's, like are very close, like friends and family and stuff that just couldn't get in because it was a small venue, you know. So like Friday After Five, there's a lot of people coming that are like, I still ain't seen you boys yet, but I'm gonna be at Friday After Five. You know, like it's gonna be nuts.
There better be room, and it's like, it's outside, dude. There's
Can
no...
you get me a VIP seat? It's like, dude.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure you guys are getting hit up for that. Oh, yeah. And that's something new because you're used to just being, hey, if a friend wants to come watch you guys play at the pizza shop or whatever. Like,
yeah, just that's come easy. On by.
Just come hang. We might be able to get you a pizza or a beer too.
But yeah.
Now it's a whole different thing with like a guest list.
Yeah, there's rules and stuff.
A green room. And this and that.
We got a rider. Like, that's crazy.
What's on the rider?
Oh, man. So, Miller Lite is a must on the rider.
Okay, Miller Lite boys. All right.
Yeah.
All right, I respect that.
And we drink a lot of Montucky, too, now. Jarrett really got
Jarrett's
us hooked
a huge
on Montucky.
Yeah.
But what else we got on there? A deli tray. That's okay. Ryan. Ryan likes the dilly tray. Stone Cold Steve Austin memorabilia.
Yeah, that's for Catfish. Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Does that they actually give?
Nobody
that to
gives
you?
That to.
I was
no.
gonna say. Well, you're gonna see on the headlining shows. You're going into all these rooms. Like someone will. He's gonna start getting.
That's
Catfish
why we put it.
Collecting.
That's why we put it on. Yeah, yeah. We were like, eventually, dude.
Somebody will give.
He's
us
gonna
something.
Have a whole room. He's like his whole bunk or whatever. His whole. Section of the van or the bus or whatever you guys are traveling around is just gonna be all this stuff. Yeah.
Well, on the van we named it Sweet Valerie, like from the song Brother Perfect. Joe. And yeah. then there's a Stone Cold action figure zip tied to the front of the
yeah,
van.
Yeah, it's on the grill.
Yeah. So he goes everywhere with us. And then we did this dirt bike race. It was in Monterey,
oh, yeah,
Tennessee.
That was,
we
that
played.
Was wild.
And that was like a headline thing for us, but it was like this big dirt bike thing. That's what people were there for, you know? And they walked out to Stone Cold's theme music, and Colby like smashed the beers over everybody,
yeah,
soaked
was,
the first two
wild.
Rows.
Crowd probably went nuts.
Yeah, they yeah. loved it. They loved yeah. it. It was, that was the. Probably the highest energy show we'd played was that one. It was muddy. The van got stuck. We were stuck for like 2 hours. And then the Scarecrows, it was another band that played. There's a guy that, what was his name?
Oh, I don't remember. But he should be remembered after
oh my gosh.
The way he got that van out. I mean, dude, they had the, it was on, the whole place was on a hill, right?
Yeah.
And the stage was at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, no.
And like, it's pouring down rain. There's dirt bikes going everywhere. There's like a 5-year-old doing wheelies on a mountain bike. You know, it's
the
like,
van
where
doesn't
are
have four
we?
Wheel drive. We're
oh,
just
no.
yeah. yeah. And so we're just. I mean, the more it's like, you know, we're driving. It's just slowly sinking into the mud. You know, and we get down there, and then like our trailer's like facing away from the stage. Like, and
yeah,
we had
to back it up.
Yeah, we had to
around.
Back it up, dude. It was bad. And then we got yeah. stuck leaving. Like, we loaded all our stuff in, and I guess it was too heavy or what. And it was so muddy at that point.
But this guy, he got it unstuck, and then there were like two semis with like a window maybe the size of this table.
No, it was bigger than
okay,
that.
It was
He's
like
being
from
dramatic,
the table to the camera, maybe. It
yeah,
was not.
It
a
was
tight,
not.
It was a tight
it was
window.
A it was a tight.
And
window.
He had the van completely sideways, going like drifting through these two semis.
Yeah, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
It was like straight Dukes of Hazzard stuff. Yeah. But he got us out of there.
Yeah, I've done a lot of mud bogs in my day working because I used to be out with Trey Lewis and I was out with Muscadine Bloodline. And during the Dick Down in Dallas heyday, we did a lot of mud parks.
Yeah,
I've been stuck like, and I was the TM, so I was having to drive. I've been stuck in the mud probably 4 or 5 times. So yeah. I get it, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. It's not a fun but there's always that good old boy that's there.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
guy from the Scarecrows yeah. that's able to get you out.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in person. Like, he was going so fast
yeah.
in that van.
Yeah.
I didn't know it could make the noises that it was making.
Yeah. Yeah. It really hasn't been the same since, honestly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Every trip we go on, the van and the trailer just take a worse beating.
That's how it works. Make sure you keep greasing those bearings on the trailer, because I've had that, too. I've had the wheel fall off of a trailer while we're on the interstate.
Oh, that's
good.
Doing
9 hours to fucking North Carolina, and like hour one, the trailer breaks.
Man,
yeah, that's gonna be on my mind now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just it's stuff. I mean, you've got a good you guys have a very experienced team with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've known Davis and Wales for years. You know, and those guys have seen it all. Wales and I actually met my like second or third week with Muscadine. He had just started kind of shooting for them. He hadn't even moved from South Carolina yet. And so to see what he's doing now, and then Davis, I've known from his days back in Texas, and like you've got a good crew with you, so
yeah.
they'll make sure all that shit's taken
yeah.
care of.
Yeah.
You know, you got a good team. So let's get into Jacob. Why are you so fucking sad? Let's get into this because what are your thoughts, Aiden? Because I know you said you guys give him shit.
They do give me shit. They give me so much shit.
He's just like, he's a sad boy.
Everybody's like, when are you gonna write a happy song? I don't know, dude. When it happens, you know. I just. Girl stuff, you know, relationship stuff.
He's really bad at it. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I was in a relationship and it didn't go well, so I wrote a bunch of songs about it, and then here we are, I guess, you know. I still write sad songs. Maybe I'm just a sad person.
Do you think that has to do with being, because you, so when COVID hits, you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
So do you think
COVID was wild.
Do you think that part, and for you, you're in high school when COVID happens. Like, all you guys are kind of like in that, like, I graduated high school in 2013. I graduated college in 2017. So I was already a little bit like, and as an adult when COVID hit, but like being a kid during COVID and like finishing up those high school years, being the right out of high school years,
delivering pizzas,
delivering pizzas, bro. Like, but the world was so fucked, and it still is fucked in a lot of ways.
Oh, it's that's not
a
been
whole
the
other,
same.
That's
dude.
A whole other conversation. And I feel like music and just society in general has been talking about deeper shit. I feel like you're part of that too.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like music's definitely taken a turn in a more like a more honest route. You know, like it's less about the sound of it, I feel like now, and more about just what the songs are. And I don't know. I just wrote what I was thinking. That's what I do. I write from inspiration, and it was dark days, so I wrote some
Yeah, like Brother Joe, bro.
Yeah, that one was weird.
Dark
so
as fuck.
I had a buddy.
I love it, though. I love it.
I wrote that in like 30 minutes, probably. I had a buddy that... he was going to school to be a priest, and I used to like run cross country and do track with him, and he was always a really good buddy growing up, and I hadn't talked to him in a while, and so he messaged me and was like, let's go get lunch. And I was like, all right, and we went and got lunch, and he's a very interesting guy, and we sat there and talked for like 3-4 hours just sitting there eating pizza at Chicago's Pizza in Tell City, and I was like, hey, dude, I'm going to write a song when I get home. I have no idea what it's going to be about. But the first line that came to my head was, a preacher man, he's got a gun. And I was like, what? Why? You know, why has he got a gun? Something's got to happen. And I just wrote it backwards from there. But, yeah, I don't know where it came from, really.
You probably had a purpose to write it. Like, if it happened that quick and, like, what it's about and everything, like, it might have been fate, dude. Might have been supposed to write that song.
Who knows?
It is weird. It is weird when you write a song that quick. Like, and you do it start to finish. Like
it just
that.
Feels
like,
good, dude. Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't know. Everything just feels right when you're saying it. And it's like, I don't have to worry. I'm real particular and I'm like a perfectionist. So whenever I can write something really quick and just get it done and get it over with, I'm happy with it. It's like, that's the good stuff.
I remember you playing that in Galaxy, like, just on the guitar and. Me and Ryan were both like, what the fuck? What is this? You know? And then, like, me and him, well, I know I for sure thought that Brother Joe comes back and, like, gets revenge, you know? And then you figure out that he kills himself and you're like, what?
Well, that's been cool to see, too, because, like, it shows I've had people come up to me. And, like, when we played in St. Paul, there was this guy that came up after the show and he was with his buddies and he was like, hey, does Brother Joe kill that guy? And I was like, no, he doesn't. And he was like, does he kill himself? And I was like, yeah, he does. And then he turned around and it was like they'd had this argument going about what happened at the end of Brother
Joe.
Yeah,
like him and his buddies.
Like, he's like, I told you he didn't kill the other guy. Like, I didn't realize that it was this thing, you know?
Well, that's the thing. You're captivating people with the lyrics and then the melodies and what you guys are doing on the back end of it with the musical part of it, the instrumental part of it. It just ties together so well. And like, you're telling these dark stories and then the way you guys are doing it on the track just comes across so fucking well. And
yeah that was one that we like constructed in Galaxy and it was like right around the time that Aiden joined, and
it was like kind of like we had already been practicing a bunch, and it was kind of like that was the song where we all started to feel comfortable, I feel like, where we were like actually making music and not just like making noise in there, because like
there's a difference between making noise and making music.
Yeah,
there really
is. Yeah.
Oh, and we like, make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because I remember that first round that you played with us. You played obviously Smoking a Light. You played Walls.
Yeah.
You played a lot of the stuff that was on that first EP, and it's like. Smoking a Light, obviously, has been, like, the big one so far. Mm-hmm. And there's more. There's way more to come for you guys. But looking at the streaming numbers, like, 29 million, which equates to, like, a couple $100 on Spotify money, you know? Shout out Spotify.
Yeah.
But, like, when you hear it's just such an iconic riff at the front of that, where it's like, it's something that you could, like, that song could have fit in like Forrest Gump. Like that song could have fit in like movies, like that, like that riff. Like it feels like it's, it should be in like a movie, honestly.
Yeah. That was always my favorite one. It was the first one that we did. We made Walls and we released the EP, and then Walls, I mean, before anything really started happening at all, but Walls was like the popular one out of the four. And I was like, I just really feel like Smoking a Light hasn't had its moment yet, you know, and nothing had had its moment. I just didn't know what I was talking about. And then Smoking a Light just took off, and I was like, yeah, I feel like that was the one, you know. But it's done well, and it's been crazy, you know, just hearing people sing the words when we're out there playing. Like, that's always been a dream, and it's just crazy that it's finally happening.
Yeah, it's wild, like, going on your TikTok and, like, seeing people, like, on your feed, like, play the song. Like, just somebody, some influencer, you know, like, playing it in the background, you're like that's our song, you know.
Yeah.
like
this guy knows who we are.
Yeah, right? But like, I'm just scrolling on TikTok. Like, why is it on my For You page? Yeah. Like,
I get like, I don't know, it's like a jump scare. Like, I'll be scrolling and I'll hear it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because like, you hear it so much, like because we see all the clips like before they're out too, like, and it's sometimes like we'll be scrolling and like the Instagram volume will be on or something, and like you'll just be scrolling and then all of a sudden it's playing Smoking a Light at full volume in the green room or something, and you're like, turn that shit off. Like,
we'll get there. We're gonna get there, guys. Yeah. We're gonna get there.
Yeah, we'll hear it when we play it later.
Yeah. Or like we'll be driving in the van and like our manager will have aux or something and Smoking a Light will pop on. We're like, oh, turn it off.
Yeah, I don't. My parents like to listen to it a lot, and like, I don't know, their playlists. They listen to the same playlists, you know, and it's just like every other song is one of our songs.
Yeah.
And I rode down to Atlanta with them. My sister just graduated from Georgia Tech, and the whole way down there, I was like, skip it, skip it, skip it.
I don't want to hear myself. Yeah.
I've heard it enough.
My little sister is like obsessed with it, and like she'll play it on the TV in the living room. And, like, when I come home, I'm like, that's, like, I walk in the door and I'm like, turn it off, you know? and then like, I'll be in the kitchen or something. My dad will come in and be like, who's in love and fools it all? Like, just humming, you know? And I'm like, stop. Like make it turn off.
He's like, what?
I was just humming. And I'm like, dude.
Hum a different song.
Yeah, hum a different one.
Hum some Led Zeppelin or
something. Yeah, yeah.
Anything else.
Yeah.
What's it been like to kind of be, because you guys are part of this Whale Tail family and part of this crew where it's like, you guys are coming up, Luke's coming up, Rob's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the boys. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to meet the Fox and Veed boys out of...
I haven't met them, but I've listened to their music and it's really good.
They're another one that... But their first Nashville show was with us at Winners, and it was like another like oh fuck moment, because they're very heavy, like they're very cool. Very heavy, and again darker lyrics kind of thing, around the same age as you guys, but like this movement of like being a part of this collective that's kind of coming out of nowhere, and everybody's kind of winning. Like, what's it been like having that kind of brotherhood with Rob and and Luke and all those guys?
We were we did like a retreat. Me and Rob and Luke were both there, and then like Wales and Davis, you know, just the whole crew. And we went out to North Carolina, and it was the week that Brother Joe released, and then Rob had Shine release in the same day that Brother Joe came out, and we were sitting there, and then Wales and Jape had the music video coming out too that week, and then so we were all just sitting there, and it was like Friday at midnight, everybody had releases, and it was just this really cool moment, you know, because Rob had never put a song out, and he got to put his first song out, and it was awesome just being there and seeing everything.
Yeah.
Or no, Rob's song came out the next week, I think. But yeah, it did. It did. But it was just cool because he was excited, you know.
Yeah, it's just there's this energy around all of you guys.
Yeah.
And it's like you guys and Luke aren't even in town yet. You guys are still living in your hometowns. Mm-hmm. living the lives that you've been living, but now there's these eyes on you. And then Rob being here, and I've known Rob for a long time, and getting to see what he's doing, and it's just really fucking cool to see this. See you guys especially, just because everybody. And Nikki and I get asked about you guys a lot because we obviously like I rep the shirt and we're connected with you guys in a lot of ways, and people are like, man, tell us about these old 60 guys. I'm like, they're just kids from Kentucky that fucking jam out, make noise, and sing about some dark shit, and it's cool because it's so different from everything else that's going on. You guys have the slogan, not your father's country.
Yeah.
Where did that kind of come from?
I don't even know. I
that
don't want
was around. But
like, I don't want to take credit for it, but I think it was me. But I don't know. I was just trying to think of cool shit, you know, to have for the band, and we were thinking of slogans and logos and shit, and I was like, not your father's country band sounds cool. And that was like, Ryan did the, he was like, we should do an L8 logo shirt, and I had my sister draw it up because she's a wizard.
Oh, so your sister did this?
Yeah.
That's so fun. I love how fucking grassroots and organic it all is.
Yeah.
Seriously, I really do.
Yeah, I wish we would, we need to use Not Your Father's Country Band, and then we used to say Amish Rock too, because we have a huge like Amish community.
Oh,
where
really?
We're from. Yeah. So we were calling it Amish Rock.
Yeah,
we were
one of the shows at the bar in Cloverport. We were like a couple minutes late because we got stuck behind a wagon on the way out there.
Yeah, it's wild.
So we started calling it Amish Rock.
Yeah. What is growing up in Amish culture like?
You guys grew up
outside of the culture, but kind of like around it.
They just like build shit. Like they're like the baddest people to like, if you need like a building put up or something, they're out there at like early in the morning. They throw that shit together. They're back on their wagon going back home. Like,
yeah. They, I don't know. I never really was around it.
Yeah,
much.
I wasn't either.
But they have their like area that they all kind of live.
Don't they have like it's like a huge house, isn't it?
Well, there's a bunch of different, there's like a few families out there that live.
Yeah,
it's and it's
wild.
Like commune kind of thing.
Yeah, they all live right around each other, mm-hmm. South Hancock.
Yeah, what is Hancock County like? Because I've learned a little bit about it, and some nights at Red Door with Cody Loden that one night.
Yeah,
and
Cody.
Cody vibes really well with you guys because he's from, I think, a neighboring
Breckenridge County.
Yeah,
that was our high school rival. Yeah, he was from the county over. There's not a lot. It's all industry. There's like, so I worked in an aluminum plant, and then there was another aluminum plant. It shut down, and then there's like a place that runs wire, and my dad works at the paper mill, but it's all factories. There's like five or six factories, and then schools and a couple Dollar Generals, and
that's it.
That's what there is to do. Yeah, Galaxy Pizza. There's a Subway sandwiches in Lewisport and a gas station.
Local sandwich shop.
Yeah. I don't know if you need to try it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you haven't had Subway, then $5 footlongs, well, with this recession, they're like $7 footlongs right now.
More like 13.
This used to be a country.
Yeah, dude. Don't get me started on the Subway prices, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
13?
No, oh, yeah.
I don't know, but
I know.
They're expensive, though.
Not $5 anymore.
Yeah, those days are long gone.
Because that's what I used to eat a lot on the road, because we'd stop at Love's. Love's becomes a way of life, and you guys will see that when you're out there on the road going all over the country. And you'll see that there's some parts of the country that don't have Love's, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
Which, yeah, like up in the Northeast, we don't have truck stops. All of our rest stops are, like, government kind of mandated, so they're, like...
Really?
They're, like, you go in this rest area, it's, like, a big food court that has, like, a Burger King or, like, a McDonald's. There's always a fucking Annie Ann's pretzel. It's, like, mall food or, like, or like a fucking Cinnabon or something. Just, like, funny stuff, but there's something about pulling into a Love's and getting that $13 Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, that ham and cheese, maybe you have a little extra cash in your pocket, you add bacon to it, you know?
Yeah, get that sucker toasted.
Yeah, oh, dude, absolutely. What do you guys eat a lot when you're on the road? Like, you strike me as a big snacker.
He's the junkiest.
Really,
dude,
and he
ever,
looks like that.
Dude.
It's like, where does it go,
dude? Oh my god,
I do eat a lot of junk food. I eat like shit.
Like what?
I don't know.
Like we're pulling up into a Love's right now. What
he like
getting?
Thrives on it though. Like you'll see him with like some. Whatever the nastiest spicy.
I like to try new things. Like, there's a gas station right next to Colby's house, and I got a, it was like a Pringles tube, but it was Hot Cheetos little like puff ball things.
Just pure garbage, dude.
Yeah, I don't
know. The last thing you should put in your
mouth. But yeah, that, and I got to get a sweet tea, Gold Peak extra sweet tea. That's the go-to drink. And then anything spicy, like spicy chips, love spicy chip. Grippos, anywhere you can get Grippos.
What's a Grippo?
You never had Grippos?
No, I don't know what a Grippo is. I just learned about Takis like not too long ago. So is it in like the Takis?
It's like they're barbecue chips. I think they're, are they Kentucky right? thing? Okay. I think that it's might, a Kentucky thing.
I'm going to be driving through Kentucky to go to Iowa in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you'll have to get some Grippos.
I'll send you a picture.
They had them in the vending machine at work. I used to just tear that shit up.
Yeah, they're good.
There was I also ruined blue raspberry flavoring for myself because they had these Bang energy drinks, and I'd never worked like night shift before. And I get out there, and I'm like working these night shifts. I'm like, oh, I'll just get some energy drinks, you know, it'll be all right. And I drank like five of these blue raspberry Bangs in one night. And threw up and was like, I can't.
Do you know how much caffeine's in one can?
No.
So I used to drink a lot of it. 300 milligrams of caffeine. That cup of coffee that Aiden is drinking has like a third of that. That's like that's like three of those in one can.
Well, it was like you couldn't, like if you fell asleep, there's a probationary period where you have a yellow hard hat and everybody calls you butterhead and cheesehead and stuff. And then after 90 days you get a white hard hat. But I have my yellow hard hat and it's like while you're on probation you can't mess up or you'll get fired because you're not like part of the union or whatever. And
butterhead.
I was just
butterhead, you know.
Everybody was like, don't fall asleep, they'll get rid of you. And I'm like, oh God, dude, I can't fall asleep. So I'm just pounding and energy drinks, you know. But I made it. I did it. I worked there for like a year and a half.
I like the Starbucks Starbucks mocha.
Oh, like in the
triple shot,
the bottom,
or the double shot.
Oh, the can. In the can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll throw those back. I was just down in Key West this past week, which I'm sure at some point you'll end up down there, the Key West Songwriters Festival. It's chaos. It's like picture Midtown, like Division and Demumbrian Street, but on an island at the beach for like a week.
I was going to ask you how all that went because it looked all the pictures looked cool.
It's wild. And we hosted four events down there. So we stayed busy, but we did a full week. The actual festival is like 3 or 4 days, but Nikki T and I always do the week because then it's like we have a little bit of vacation before and after kind of thing. Go to the beach. But I was drinking the Cuban coffee down there. Cuban coffee, they give it in that little shot. They call it a Bucci, like a Busey, like Gary Busey. And it's like a little, it's like this little shot, bro. And it's got so much fucking caffeine in them. I probably did like 10 or 11 of them. And I thought I was just going, bro. So I'm a caffeine nicotine. What was the shit that you were on? You said
Velo.
Davis got you on?
Davis got me on Velo. The fuck's a Velo? They're 7 milligrams.
Oh, they're heavier.
Yeah, my roommate does the 12 milligram Kato ones.
Kato?
Yeah, they come in 6 and 12. Like, those come in 3 and 6. The Kato come in 6 and 12.
What the fuck?
But, yeah, black cherry. I've always been a big black cherry guy.
That's what I like. I like black cherry, too. Like, I love, like the cherry-flavored Dr. Pepper at Five Guys, like, in the big soda machine there, or like, a wild cherry Pepsi. I'm a cherry guy as
well. We used to do the black cherry Kool-Aid growing up. Like, that was the go-to flavor. So, I've always had a soft spot for black cherry.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it was good. Playing outside, come in, mom's got black cherry Kool-Aid made, best
for the days.
Yeah. I like the like the squish bottles of them, like the Kool-Aid,
like
the plastic, like the old school. Oh,
the
jammers,
Kool-Aid jammers.
There's the jammers, bro. Jammers. The jammers. It's like those kids are drinking Capri Sun, but the cool kids are drinking the jammers.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just straight.
That's
sugar.
The hard shit.
Or the little barrels. I don't know if y'all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good too.
Yeah, dude. And it's just pure artificial sugar.
Oh
my
god. Yeah.
That food coloring fucked our generation bro. We were drinking that Code Red Mountain Dew shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh. The Code Red Mountain Dew and Doritos, that was like the go-to.
And Doritos, you are a junkhead with your damn food. You weren't kidding. Code Red Mountain Dew and Doritos.
When I was like 12. I don't know.
Things ain't changed.
Playing like Call of Duty Zombies. Just
Yeah. You guys big video game guys?
I play a lot of video games, yeah.
I used to be.
Well, I don't anymore, but I used to, yeah. When I get the chance, I play a lot of video games. Yeah, I'm definitely bringing the PlayStation, like, for the Airbnbs.
Yeah, we got a bunch of like Nintendo Switches that Ryan and all of them are bringing, and my cousin gave me like 3 DSs. So
like
a bunch of games.
School.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
I fuck with the DS. I used to have that PSP.
Oh yeah,
dude,
that thing was ahead of its time.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah,
that's nuts. You can watch freaking movies on there and everything.
Yeah, dude. I used to play MLB The Show.
Hell yeah.
On the PSP. Yeah. Though, and that was some fun shit. I started getting into Fortnite recently, and it's I have Nikki T plays pretty much every night that he can, and it's cool because it's like hanging out. There's something about the party. Hanging with the boys, wearing the headset, running around,
talking
doing
shit.
That's more or less what it is. Yeah. I feel like that's what video
games. And it's so nostalgic too, because like you're there and you're like, damn, like this feels like being a kid again.
Yeah,
like,
dude. Yeah. Absolutely. And with how busy everybody is right now, and especially like the last 6 months for you guys, like it's good to have. You need to have those moments. You need to have that downtime.
Yeah.
With all this go, go, go.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to still, like, not get burnt out. Mm, like, because getting burnt out is something, especially, like, these first tours that you guys are going on. They're a lot of fun. And getting to see the country is fucking cool. And you guys are, you're not working in a factory. You're not riding around on that side by side. You're not working in the pizza shops or whatever. Like, you're getting to do what you love. But at the same time, like, you don't want it to feel like work. That's kind of the key to stability is keeping it fun.
Yeah, we also just like haven't had any big stretches on the road yet. June, we've got like 14 shows in June, and I think we've got like 3 or 4 days at home the whole time. So that's going to be like the first real stretch we have of doing it and doing it every night. And man, like that's what I've been wanting to do this whole time is just get out there and get on the road and play shows and headline and see what it's like to have a crowd there for you, you know, because we've been doing a lot of support stuff and it's awesome getting everybody fired up, but like we're gonna be playing to our crowd, you know, and we haven't really done that yet.
What do you think the old 60 crowd's gonna be like? What do you think the people watching from the stage is gonna be like?
Hopefully pretty rowdy. We like to have a good time, so hopefully everybody comes up ready to party.
I think it's going to be a lot of different demographics too. I don't think it's just going to be kids. I think you're going to have like, and I think it's awesome you guys have like supportive parents that are listening to your shit, but also like enjoy the music.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna be surprised at the middle-aged folks that are there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The girls that are there, the guys that are there. Like it's not just going to be the small town kids from Kentucky or East Bumblefuck or wherever, you know, like it's gonna be a mix of people because I think you guys are more than just country too, which is what I love.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of rock and there's some folk in there too, but I think it's mainly rock most of the time.
I just make rock songs and then just have Jarrett play a cool banjo. It's country now. Yeah,
there's a banjo. We're from Kentucky.
Yeah, it can't be rock music. There's a banjo in it.
Yeah, are there people that you guys kind of look up to with that are in the scene right now?
In like the similar scene that we're doing?
Like different
Whiskey
bands.
Whiskey Myers, like, they've always been one of my favorites. Treedio, like, we're playing with them in Houston.
Their shows. Have you seen a Treedio
show? I've seen videos. Yeah. I haven't been.
I went and watched it. I think you might have been there at the, is it the Broken Bowl?
Brooklyn Bowl. I wasn't there, so it was funny. I was actually in Kentucky. Because we had to go up for, we did Bulls, Bands, and Barrels.
Are we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys are doing one of those? Okay, yeah. Sick. Yeah. We'll have to, I didn't see that. Whenever that happens, I'm really good friends with the guys that run those festivals. Like, I love Hunter and Todd, and there's a guy named Bobby Lee, and he handles the bus, and he's exactly what you think a guy named Bobby Lee would be like. He's an old dude from Alabama. You can barely understand what he says. He's fucking awesome. But we went to Bulls, Bands, and Barrels in Lexington at the Horse Park. And it was Treaty Oak opening for Wyatt Flores.
Oh.
And it was the Treaty Oak crowd, dude. They are just, you talk about rowdy and wild, because it's like gossip crowd will have a little bit of elements to it.
Yeah.
But it's really sitting kind of getting in your feels. And I love what Dylan does. And it's songs that put you in your feels kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Godwin will be like a little bit of a mix. Treaty Oak is pure fucking rowdy.
Yeah.
There's shit flying, bro. You might have to wear your Butterhead helmet, honestly. it gets wild, dude. It's a lot of fun. So
yeah, we're excited. I don't know what to expect, you know, like playing to a crowd like that. We're gonna have to bring it.
And it's in Texas.
Yeah. That's our first show in Texas.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. First time I went to Texas, I was selling merch for the Muscadine Boys and we were opening for Co Wetzel. And I had people come to the merch table and be like, what are y'all doing here? Y'all ain't from Texas. Y'all shouldn't be here. Blah, 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 blah. And then they'd still buy a koozie from me. Yeah. I was a good salesman. Yeah. But like the Texas crowd, I think your music crosses over to that scene so fucking well.
I feel like that's been like the biggest one when we get people saying, you know, like, come play Florida or come play wherever. It's always like Texas, Texas, Texas. Come play Texas.
Yeah.
So we're excited.
And where in Texas are you guys going to be? Let me see.
Houston. I don't know the name of the venue.
Oh, you guys will be in Houston. That'll be... Houston's fun, too. Houston's... Oh, you're at a... Okay, so you're at the 713. So that's a bigger room, because obviously Treaty Oak, they're big in Texas, because that's where they're from. That'll be a very, very rowdy crowd. That'll be very rowdy. Have you guys been to a Buc-ee's yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you guys have... Yeah, because they have them. But Buc-ee's started in Texas. They have them everywhere down there. They have Buc-ee's, and they have Whataburger everywhere.
Hell yeah.
So
I don't...
You guys will enjoy...
I've had Whataburger once.
Yeah, we went to Texas.
We went down and we were like in Northeast Texas and we recorded with Taylor Kimball.
That's the whole other thing I gotta bring up. Recording with Taylor, bro.
Yeah.
That is another guy that we've known through different channels of Raised Rowdy and obviously his history working with the guys that he's worked with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal to go down and to record in Texas with him.
Yeah, and it's the new studio. He just built it, and we went down there. We did two songs. And it was just, I don't know, we'd never done anything like it, you know. The producer that we work with, Justin Eckerd, like, that's who we did the EP and Brother Joe with. And then he did some co-production on Next to You. But it was like the first time we'd recorded with anybody else. And so we were all nervous a little bit.
Yeah.
And we got down there and I think pretty quickly just realized that it was going to be
the shit.
Yeah.
Dude.
It was
we
awesome.
Walked in and he has like, you know, the Rolls Royce like headliner with the stars on it and stuff. Yeah. It was like that, but in this living room, like it was just like a black ceiling with like the stars on it. And I was like, dude, we're living it up.
Yeah.
Because, like, we don't see that shit at home.
No. You know? You don't see that shit anywhere but there.
It was just such a vibe. Like, every room had, like, cool lights in it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a vibe, you know? Yeah, it was a really good time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Hell yeah, dude. I love that. And so for this year, obviously, a lot of shows. You've already gotten some new music out. What do we have kind of look forward to?
We're working on new music right now, always working on new music, and then, I don't know, so we just put out Next to You, what, like 2 weeks ago now,
I think. It's doing really well.
We're really happy with it. I don't know, I think we're gonna just keep making music, feel it out, see what we want to do next. I want to do a project, like, I know... We've been talking about an album. People have been talking about an album. We're filling it out, you know, seeing what we want to do.
We're just gonna be really busy the next couple months.
It's hard. We're trying to figure it out. You know what works for us. We haven't really done the road thing yet. It's gonna be weird trying to write and record music in between, figuring out how to make it work. So that's where we're at right now. You know, just trying to figure it all out, making it up as we go.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing,
The best way to learn is by getting out and fucking doing it,
honestly.
And I'm super stoked for you guys and above all, proud of you. Seriously, because it's not easy to just get thrown into what you guys have been thrown into over these past few months. And you guys seem to be handling it really well. The rest of the guys seem to be handling it really well. And it's... I'm excited to get out to a show. I'm trying to figure out which one we're gonna get to. I might have to take the trip up to Chicago.
Oh, that'll be fun.
The rave would be cool too, to experience the ghosts and shit with you guys.
Yeah, cool.
Go ghost hunt.
But we'll definitely get to. Oh, Bulls, Bands, and Barrels. That's right. You are doing that
with Charles.
With Charles in Pennsylvania, Reading, Pennsylvania. I saw Eric Church in Reading, Pennsylvania years ago, and that place is awesome. Another factory town.
Oh, hell yeah.
Similar. That's like factory town, blue collar folks drinking cold beer, spending the money they made from their shifts that they worked, like getting off shift and coming to the show. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, that one, I'm really excited about that one too, because I went 2 years, no, it would have been last year in Lexington to Bulls, Bands, and Barrels, and it was Shane Smith and Charles Wesley Godwin.
Oh, now you get to open
and
for Charles.
Now we're doing one with Charles Wesley Godwin. And, like, I never thought when I was there, I was like, this would be so cool to do something like this.
Yeah.
And then, like, a year later, we're doing it with Charles Wesley Godwin. That's who I saw, you know. It was just a cool full circle moment. I've seen him twice, and they are crazy good live, like crazy good.
And Bulls, Bands, and Barrels is fun, too, because it's like they say it's not your grandpappy's rodeo.
Yeah.
It's like the rodeo with, like, the guy that does the announcing. He's a little dude. He's a little person. Him and Todd, they have two little people. And the guy that does the emceeing, his name is Porkchop. And he's a little, about yay tall. And about yay wide, and he's just this little brick shit house. But he's on the microphone, and it's like he's like a WWE announcer. It's just electric, and there's pyro everywhere. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you guys will enjoy the rodeo, and then get to go up and do your thing.
Yeah,
and,
that's cool.
That Pennsylvania crowd hasn't been exposed to it yet, so that's going to be a lot of fucking fun. So also, oh, and you guys doing Bourbon and Beyond? I think we're going to try to go to that.
Yeah, we're
in talks about that one. So
that was a really, that's a surreal one.
It'd be really, really cool to get to that one. So,
yeah.
Dude, I love what you guys are doing. Happy to have you guys as Raise Rowdy Kids.
Hell yeah,
you know, like, yeah. and we're very, very thankful to be a part of the story of, like, your first show, your first full band, like, gig, and the writer's rounds and all of that stuff, and anything we can ever do for you guys with Raise Rowdy, you know.
We're just
a call away. Whether you need to find the coffee spot here in town or whatever, or you wanna hop on the sticks and play a little Fortnite or whatever, we're here for you, boys. So where can people go to follow you if they're not following you already?
O60 Music on Instagram and TikTok.
What about the personals? For the
oh yeah, people? I'm not Jacob Ty.
You're not Jacob.
Yeah,
Ty.
There's been a lot of, like, I didn't.
Yeah, we've had a thing going on.
I didn't realize. I don't know. Like, there's been a lot of fake accounts, and people are messaging me. There's one that's got a fake ID
that's
of
crazy.
Me. Like, they made a fake ID and they're sending it to people. Like, look, it's me. You know, and I'm like, that's not me. Mine is not Jacob Ty. Yeah. It's a little confusing, but.
And what about you?
Yeah, mine's just. I think it's Aiden Wood, 34 or something.
Aiden Wood. Hell yeah.
You'll find it.
Well, boys, appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And hanging out. And I can't wait to check in with you and hear how all these tour dates have been going.
Hell yeah.
Can't wait for the new music. Y'all be sure to check out the old 60 Boys. If you're not one of the 200 or 300K people following them on Instagram, get on that fucking train right now before it leaves the station for real. They're going to be going all over the country. You can go to old60music.com and get them tour dates and be on the lookout for that new music. So, for my boys, Jacob and Aiden. I'm Matt Brill. Y'all be sure to follow along. Visit RaisedRowdy.com for more about us. And we will see you next time. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me.